On this episode, we talk about the U.S. men's national team. The Pochettino era has started. We invite in someone who knows a little more than we do, Henry Bushnell.
Right, of Yahoo Sports. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about this international break, maybe a new potential manager for the English national team.
Wow.
And we wrap up with some NWSL news. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
Yo, do you use those suction cup mirrors in your bathroom?
Suction cup mirrors.
They're good for like shaving in the shower.
Never shaved in my life.
Okay.
No.
Is that true?
No. I mean, there's nothing to really shave, but.
But you know what I'm talking about? They're like the fog mirrors.
I've not used them, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So I have them. I have one.
Mm.
And anything that suction cups in your bathroom, what happens after 6 months?
Yeah, it falls down.
It falls. Okay, so I keep forgetting that. Okay, so I was in my apartment by myself, and the suction cup mirror fell, and I thought somebody broke in.
Got it, because the mirror shattered.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if you think someone's breaking in your house and you're not in the room where they would be breaking in, right? Mm-hmm. You're away from the front door. What would you do in that situation?
Like Kamala Harris, get the Glock.
Right. Got that piece on me, bro. We blinking up over here.
You got that thing on,
yo,
bro.
You best believe. Yo, bring and make you Swiss cheese. Up in this house. Bro, I didn't have anything near me, so I grabbed a vase.
Ah. Or a vase, as the British
would
say.
Or a vase, bro. I nearly attacked a suction cup mirror with a vase.
Okay. All right.
I was freaked out. I thought somebody was breaking in through the window.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, your apartment, it'd be a little difficult, right?
It's long.
But to get in through a window, there's not really...
I mean, there's
like
a fire escape,
maybe?
There is a fire escape.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean...
I wouldn't suggest it if you don't want this vase upside your head.
Okay. I'm going to hit you with this candelabra.
Right, bro? Whatever I got around me, bro.
Okay.
Oh, this urn? You about to earn it.
You're going to learn. I got some ornate objects around my home.
This Yadro doll my mother gave my wife? You about to eat this joint. Yeah.
Just a little warning.
All right.
Anybody trying to break in.
Somebody did break into my house. It was a drunk guy that was supposed to go to the apartment upstairs.
He went in. He didn't
came
break
in. I was breaking in. he both broke in and entered. The B&E. Okay. And I grabbed a shoe. It was the closest thing. By the way, when I got back,
it was like a Tim or something.
It was a dress shoe. It was a hard rubber sole, or wooden sole.
Damn, bro.
I had a box cutter in front of me, and I forgot to grab that, and instead instinctively grabbed a shoe, which means I'm becoming my mother. I think is what that means.
Okay, don't hire Alexis for security, bro.
He's not- bro, you about to see the perp with a shoelace sticking out his mouth.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're here, as always, right here on Yahoo Sports.
Oh, I don't hear anything.
The speaker, shut off.
Yeah, I need
but
that.
But we did. They heard it. They heard it. Nah, they heard that too. Okay.
Hey, there we go. Do you hear this?
We got an incredible show today. We're obviously going to be talking USMNT, but we're going to be doing that with one of the writers and contributors to Yahoo Sports, the homie, Henry Bushnell.
Yes.
Who we met a couple years ago. I played soccer with him.
You did? Yeah. But this is the first time we're in a working capacity.
Exactly.
We are
co-workers now.
You know, when he first met us, he was like,
we got to put a water cooler right here whenever we have anybody
from
Yahoo.
What's the
going on?
What are the cubicles really saying?
Okay.
Me and Christian like to keep our ear to the cubicles.
So we're going to be talking to him. He covers, obviously, U.S. soccer and the U.S. men's national team. So we'll talk to him about the match against Panama, and we'll look forward to the match against Mexico. So we got a lot to cover there. Obviously, also international break. Sometimes people feel like this is a lull in the sport, but no, that's not what the Cooligans do.
The news be newsing, bro.
The news be newsing hard, bro. So we're gonna talk some English national team potentially. Pep as the manager.
Or Tuchel.
Two very different
crazy
personalities. And then we'll wrap up with some MLS and NWSL stuff. So. Let's get to it and let's chat with Henry Bushnell about the international matches for the USMNT this weekend and the upcoming one against Mexico.
Christian, it's not every day that when we go to have a conversation, we bring in
an expert.
The heavy hitters, okay? You know what I mean? The closer.
The people really out there tippy-tapping on the keyboards.
The tippy-tappers are underrepresented on this show.
Right. Yeah. You know when we're like told, oh, well, you're media, so you go into the press booth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we go in there and we feel wholly inadequate. It's because we're standing and sitting next to people like this.
Because they're typing and they're looking over and like, why are those two guys so loud? Yeah. There's no laughing in this press.
Did he just put a chicken sandwich inside of a burger? And then I'm trying to take notes.
Because we are joined by Yahoo contributor, writer, a gentleman.
Co-worker now.
Co-worker now. Uh-huh. Who we've supported his work for years. And I was telling him before we started recording, I'm like, dude, this is taking way too long. I don't
what
know
an
what,
honor.
What taking so long for us to have you on the show. But it's, long overdue. Absolute honor. We're joined by Henry Bushnell of Yahoo Sports. Henry, what's up, bro?
I appreciate it, guys. I'm glad to finally be here, and I already feel incredibly comedically inferior.
Right, so you know how we feel in the end, in the reverse.
That's
of that.
Why we bring you to our arena. And then you know what I remember when we.
How you like it now?
First started as you know two stand up comedians going into you know being in a press booth, hanging out at soccer games, hanging out with the soccer intelligentsia, as they say.
The academia part of
there was a lot of like, who are these clowns? What are they doing here? They don't know the sport like we do.
Right.
And so it's nice to kind of flip that a little bit. But
now it's more like, I know these clowns who don't know the sport like we do. So okay. It's good. We've become familiar.
I heard of them. All yeah. Right, cool. But Henry, yes, look, you've been covering the U.S. National teams, you know, just U.S. soccer as a whole for a long time. And, you know, we haven't got a chance to ask you just about Mauricio Pochettino being the manager. In your mind, your first reaction when you heard that he was going to be the manager to sort of now finally seeing him on the touchline, what is the general consensus and feeling of him as the manager now?
The vibes just all around are great. Right. Like the fans, and Pochettino's loving it too. Like he clearly loves all of the adulation just, you know, the everything he's kind of been.
Much different than England. Yeah. They don't really get that.
If they put you on a TIFO in England, it's because something bad happened. You don't want to read.
And honestly, I think that's part of the reason that he was like intrigued by the job, just the opportunity to just be like, you know, there's no skepticism of him, you know, coming in here as an outsider, right? Like he's just, he's a big name. He's a big character. His aura is off the charts. And everybody's loving it so far. Even if the team, in my opinion, like didn't look that different than they have in the past on Saturday, right? But it felt totally different just because of the guy on the sidelines.
There's a new feeling, you know. It's like the vibes you get, like a new manager bounce, you know. You go, it's like you and your significant other pretending not to know each other at a bar, you know. It's all of a sudden everything feels different.
Little role play,
you know what I mean? Everything feels different. Everything feels renewed. Am I taking too much from this first game against Panama? Or should we consider the fact that it was just Panama? Should we consider the fact that, you know, they kind of almost evened out when it comes to possession? They gave up a lot of possession, especially in the second half. Or should I take from it that, like, yo, it's a whole new era. We're never going to lose, you know?
I think it's both, right? Like, I think anybody trying to break down the tactics of this game are taking it way too far. Like, they've only been together for a few days. Like, the guys were saying, some of the players were saying that after the game. Like, look, like, it's only been a week. Like, yes, we maybe tried to implement some of his ideas, as people say, but like there's not too much you can implement in that time frame. But what some of these guys said, some of the players were saying, is like it does feel different. And it does feel different to have a guy of his stature around the team. And like so the feeling around the camp is totally different. And there's something to be said for that, right? Like it's not. Yes, maybe it doesn't lead to different patterns of play on the field, but like in a way, we were talking about the vibes. Like, I almost feel like it would be better if this were happening like a few months before the World Cup. Like, if we were able to just like ride this high right into 26, as opposed to having all these like boring windows of friendlies still to go between now and then.
Well,
right?
Even some of the comments, you know, I saw Tim Ream. He was on the Player Manager podcast with Julian Gressel and Zealand. Yeah. But even those comments where he was saying, you know, we had a 2-hour training session. And he's like, I've never had a 2-hour training session with the national team.
Did that upset you as much as it did me?
It was a little bit like, where are we exactly? That is 2 hours doesn't seem like a long work day.
Damn.
I think that might have been a bit of an exaggeration on Tim Ream's part. To be fair, I think some of their early training sessions under Berhalter were like longer than that, to the extent that they were too long. But like, I think most, the vast majority of training sessions nowadays in top club soccer, I think, are more so in the 90 minute range. So I think it was like, yeah, they were longer than they have been in the recent past.
And we saw the
rondos, the rondo game back and forth,
which if you lose the ball, you have to run like, you know, 20 yards to go to the other rondo and try to win the ball.
Story about Poch when he was Southampton manager?
No.
That he was making them run 12 laps around the pitch the Monday after a game.
Yes.
And I think it was Ricky Lambert came over and he said like, hey man, the players are thinking this is too much. And he goes, all right, thank you for letting me know that. The next Monday, 24 laps. He's like, how about you suck on that? Don't laps is too much?
You see, you see what happens when you put anything in the suggestion box? Things get bad for you.
There's no such thing as an anonymous suggestion. I was watching the whole time.
Everyone suffers. there is a sense of, you know, we always, we talk about this all the time throughout, ever since we've been doing this show. You have the chill manager that's like, hey, come on, guys, we gotta relax a little bit. And then the manager that comes in is like, hey, everybody get whipped into shape.
Why is everybody relaxing and chilling? Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like a weird political, almost like a conservative and liberal administration. You like,
right,
like organically, you end up going back and forth and back and forth. And Pochettino doesn't, I wouldn't say it's like wildly conservative, because he does have a,
he's a player manager.
Yeah, there's a certain like friendliness to him. But then when it's like, hey,
yeah, he's real strict.
Once the whistle during training, it's like, no. Yeah. You know, I'm not your friend anymore. I'm not like one of your little friends. You know how parents are. Yeah.
You can't call me Mauricio right now.
But it's like that. It's that those two sides of him balance each other. It's almost like the Emma Hayes playbook in a way, right? Like Emma Hayes came in, everybody's thinking she's going to be this big character who's going to whip him into shape, right? And then she gets in and she's like super personable and joking all the time.
Yeah.
And I think Pochettino, maybe not to that extent, like he's not nobody can be the jokester Emma Hayes is. but like there's a part of him that the players were expecting this guy to come in and be super dogmatic and impose his ideas. And, you know, he's probably makes more money than any of them. Like he's the guy in the position of power here, more so than even most managers are.
Yeah, he's clearly commanding a respect without a doubt.
Totally.
And not to suggest that Greg Berhalter didn't. But you
different though.
It was different. It was just you heard how the players talked about Berhalter, and it was much more like he's a big brother rather
fun
than
uncle.
A dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Fun up. Exactly. Right. Right. And then the players come in expecting Pochettino to be something different. And then you just like get in a room with him and he's chatting with you.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something like just that just makes you feel even more comfortable. And that's the big thing about this past week was just like trying to instill some confidence in the players and allow them to just play free. And I think like that's the contrast of what they were expecting versus what they got just on a human level, like I think is important and probably gives them a bit of a lift.
I thought so. I want to talk about more specifically about the game, because the lineup alone was already probably a little bit of a shock. And now we've learned about the players that are already leaving and they're not going to be playing in the Mexico game. And I want to get into that, because that's the way I feel, it's a little bit concerning, but we'll see how we all feel about it. But the lineup against Panama, obviously, Josh Sargent starting, Pulisic is there, Brendan Aaronson, not really much of a shock here, but then the inclusion of Aiden Morris, Gianluca Busio, and Yunus Musa. And then but I'm fine with those, but Yunus Musa at the wing, or like a right midfielder, I'm just like, okay, what is this going to look like? And he ends up scoring his first goal.
Which is huge.
Which is just and not even that he scored the goal. The fact that he was even there to have the opportunity to score the goal, the dude is basically inside the net. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Yunus Musa, there's no way he would ever be in a position. No coach ever told him, hey, get up there.
Go as far as you want.
You might get an opportunity. So I just thought the at least the direction, I don't know if this is going to be the, you know, we're not seeing the best available players right now, but when you think of like what maybe Pochettino told at least Yunus Musa was like, okay, your role is going to be a little bit different, or we want to just see what you kind of have to offer. Because Yunus Musa, I think, as he was like a roaming midfielder to some degree. He was kind of all over.
I mean, at Valencia, I believe he played as a, like a right winger almost.
Yeah, but then when there were a couple moments in the game where he was like going 1v1 against defenders, and it's like, okay, that's not your strength, Yunus. Yeah. Like he's good at making quick decisions, not body feints and trying to get around defenders. So I thought it was an interesting opportunity. So maybe my question for both of you is like, because of that, you know, we're already in the World Cup and we don't really need to, the matches don't really matter for that particular tournament. Is this going to be a lot of experimentation from Pochettino? I hope so. You think? Okay.
I hope so. I mean, look, if Sergiño Dest is healthy, I don't know if Musa makes it onto the pitch in this match.
Really? You don't think Scali just, or maybe because of the formation might be different, but you don't think Scali is just the one that sits and Sergiño is
no,
in that
because
role?
Sergiño Dest playing as a center back? As one of the three center backs?
A right center. Okay, I get it.
I put my money on the other team. I don't care who they are. No, I think Musa maybe doesn't play centrally. I think Gianluca Busio added a lot to the lore of him on the national team. I think you saw him take a step up. Same thing with Aiden Morris. Aiden Morris playing under Michael Carrick next to Hayden Hackney. I mean, clearly has learned a lot. In fact, I'm really impressed with Aiden Morris's ability to grab. As soon as he gets possession, he turns, faces the goal. He seems to be much more incisive, much more of a threat than he was in the past where he was making safe passes. I think Yunus Musa, because he's not playing a lot at Milan, I think this gave him an opportunity. But what do you do to a central midfielder you're not comfortable with? You stash him. You hide him on the wing. That's kind of what we saw. He just happened to look good and score.
You think? I don't think it was a negative display for Yunus Musa. But
I don't think it was a negative. I think it was certainly a positive. But if Sergiño Dest is healthy, Musa's on the bench.
Okay.
Well, that's the point. Like, he had been on the bench, right? Whether or not he'd be on the bench if everybody healthy, like, he hadn't been starting for this team. He hasn't been starting for his club team. And that's what, like, Pochettino said, the reason for playing him out there was just to, like he wanted him on the field to get him a bit of confidence. Like, he wanted Yunus Musa starting in this first game because he thought Yunus Musa needed the confidence boost that comes with that.
Yeah.
And Yunus said after the game, like, when a top manager comes in and not only, like, is going to put you on the field, but, like, knows that, Alexis, as you mentioned, like, he had played on the right wing when he was younger at Valencia, maybe in the Arsenal Academy. Pochettino knew that. And when a guy like Pochettino comes in and knows your background already, Pochettino said he didn't want him in the middle because he didn't want a player whose confidence is maybe shaky having that responsibility of playing in the middle and having that responsibility in the first game. But he wanted him on the field, so he sticks him out on the right, and like maybe it did exactly what Pochettino wanted it to do, just in that little confidence
boost. Yeah,
can he fight to get on the pitch at Milan now?
Yeah, that's like a bigger question. I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, it's like bittersweet to see Pulisic thriving and basically looking like the best player in Serie A, mm-hmm. and then having his USMNT teammate just being
your
like,
"Boy, he's like, yo, where's my boy at, bro?
I want to party with him here too." Maybe this says something about Yunus Musa because I like adore him as a person. I just think he's a great kid, and just like I love the energy and the positivity that he sort of just brings in every interview, and then maybe. Maybe it's not cutthroat enough to win that starting position. You know, maybe it's almost detrimental. Maybe it's a negative.
Maybe that comes with time. He's also much younger than Christian Pulisic.
Yeah. So, but look, I'm happy he got his first goal. We also saw the goal from Ricardo Pepi. Yeah. But I also want to talk about Matt Turner because goalkeeper.
Why don't we ask the question? Who impressed you the most?
Okay. Do you want to start so we can think? Or
for me, I would. I think I kind of explained it a little bit. For me, it was Aiden Morris.
Okay.
B for me would be maybe Mark McKenzie, who I think it showed he's a lot more of a solid center back than maybe we've seen in the past, where I think it was a little slow, a little skittish. But mm-hmm. for me, Aiden Morris really impressed me. I don't know what happens when everyone's fully fit.
Yeah.
I have to see what Mauricio Pochettino wants to do with everyone else. But for me, Aiden Morris proved that move to Middlesbrough is a nice step forward.
For me, Matt Turner. given he has had no minutes and has not played.
Little sketchy with the distro.
He had a couple, but the saves. The saves were tremendous and kept a clean sheet. The double save was crazy. So that was my first thought. Henry?
I was kind of going to go with Aiden Morris too. Just like there's a bit of like cleanliness on the ball that I kind of like.
Yeah.
Just like tidy. And like pretty, you know, there were a couple times where he cut out Panama counterattack shortly after the U.S. lost the ball. Like, he wasn't perfect. He gave the ball away a few times. But, yeah, him, you know, it's hard to say that, like, somebody like Christian Pulisic really impressed you. Because, like, obviously he's the best player on the field. Mm-hmm. And other guys, like, Brendan Aaronson is exactly who we know Brendan Aaronson is. Like, he's going to run around the field and press well, which I'm sure Pochettino loves. But is he a threat in the final third?
Have we figured out what he does?
Well, Brendan Aaronson, he's not... I think his time in Bundesliga at FC Union was really negative. I mean, it just didn't work out well. And I think it hurt his confidence. Him being back at Leeds, he's already, I think, scored maybe 2 or 3 goals or something like that.
He's been playing well.
The confidence is like
Right, but what position is he?
To me...
Like, what does he do besides be an engine?
To me, he's
He wants to be a 10, right? He wants to be a 10 not. Or maybe a, you know, an advanced 8. And he just doesn't have the on-ball, like, the idea, the whole concept of a number 10.
That's not him, bro. In his head, he's Riquelme. That's not what I see.
To me, he is a winger.
Yeah.
He should be going 1v1 against fullbacks. That is where I want to see. Or maybe, like, a right midfielder, focusing maybe on distributing the ball a little bit better, but, like, really can outrun defenders if necessary. Right. If he has like that first step, that's, you know, at Philadelphia.
Where do you put someone like that? At a high level.
I mean, look,
my mom thinks her Hyundai is a Mercedes. You know what I mean?
Look,
but it is very much not.
It's like if Tim Weah is healthy. Tim Weah is in that position, in my opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
But right now for the U.S. men's national team, Brendan Aaronson feels like a great super sub, a great. The energy, the speed.
Oh, he changes the game. He changes the game because he's got all the legs.
As a starter, we're still kind of figuring that out. But the other thing I had mentioned up top about players leaving and not playing in this game for Mexico. As a fan, I'm just like, oh, this doesn't feel good. I want to see them play.
Pulisic.
Yeah, Pulisic. So it's Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Zach Steffen.
He didn't even get on the pitch.
But McKennie... Because I saw the comments from Pochettino. He said, I don't remember it. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said that they were worried about something and they just wanted him to rest.
Just some discomfort and like not going to risk it. Yeah. Like the Pochettino's words were like, we want to protect him.
Yeah.
Similar.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the only reason I was like disappointed mainly for
his dad,
John McKenney. Do you follow John Captain? Or is it Sergeant John McKenney?
Yeah. Have you ever received an email or DM?
Is he one of your sources? you don't have to reveal it, of course. But he posted an image of him at Q2 Stadium with a cowboy hat. Being like, hey, I'm ready to support my son. Right. And it's like, and then his son didn't even get to play.
Now, where is he?
So the fact that they're not going to play against Mexico and not even traveling is like it's sort of dampering my excitement about the Pochettino era because I'm really going to take another window to possibly even see the best available players for the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, but it's not even it's not even the best available anyway. Like they're already missing so many guys,
sure.
And so I think the reasoning obviously is that they're taking the long view and they don't want to especially like that's the Pulisic isn't injured or anything. Right. They just know he's playing week in and week out at Milan. They want to rest him so that he doesn't get worn down and doesn't pick up an injury 6 months from now that's going to affect next summer that carries in the next season and then suddenly he's not, at 100% come 26, which is really the only thing that matters here.
So funny. It's just like the game that was scheduled in the United States, they're like, we got to get our players on. And the game scheduled in Mexico, they're like, hey, they're not available. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know, yeah. Is it mostly an MLS crew coming to this one?
hopefully it'll have the effect. I don't know if you guys watched Mexico over the weekend, but they
lost. Yeah, I was going to mention that. They lost to Valencia.
Drew Valencia, youth team/B team, basically.
which is crazy.
Maybe we're taking the approach. Maybe the U.S. is taking the approach of, let's send our own B team and make the Mexican fans/press even angrier when Mexico doesn't win this game.
Yeah.
Valencia needs money. So is there a way we could get them on this show? The whole squad, the whole standing team. They need that money, bro.
I know you cover and you focus on the U.S. men's national team, but this Mexico, just the Mexico side, but just the last couple of years, it's just been it's disarray. I mean, it's weird for them to have all these issues. And now in CONCACAF, we're like the more stable ones when we were just always kind of like, we were the little brothers. But to see, when I saw that Valencia scored one, because Mexico were up two, I'm like, first of all, you see Mexico and then VAL. And I'm like, what country is this?
The People's Republic of Valencia.
Like, I thought it was pretty good with geography. But it is, when I saw the matchup, I'm just like, what is the, from like, even from a federation perspective, why can't they find somebody to play? Like, how did it get to?
Because now Europeans are in Nations League.
They are. I understand. I mean, there's other countries besides Europe. There has to be somebody of it. There's no way that some country was not available to play. And they had to go with a club team. It's just like doesn't it feel a little embarrassing?
Yeah, but you look at every other, Asians have World Cup qualifying.
Yeah.
African teams have African Cup of Nations qualifying. South Americans have their own qualifying.
Honorable, yeah.
Europe has Nations League.
CONCACAF,
the vast majority of the CONCACAF teams have Nations League games.
Yeah.
And it's only these four teams, the three co-hosts and Panama, were the only available. So Canada also played a friendly against a club team behind closed doors.
Oh, okay.
And then is playing Panama in their one game this window.
Who? Which club? Do you know?
I think Montreal.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, because I saw a picture with Jesse Marsh at like Stade Saputo training or something. And I thought that just happened to be where the friendly was with whoever they were going to play. I didn't realize it was against Montreal.
And this is where I'm saying, like, if you're Wrexham, this is the perfect opportunity.
That has to be
marketing wise.
I guess Mexico and Canada got the short end of the stick of available teams to play.
I want to bring it back to the U.S. national team for a second. Where do both of you, okay, plus or minus, did Josh Sargent go up or down in your nines ranking, power rankings?
For me, down. What about you, Henry?
I think down. Just, he hasn't scored for the national team in a really long time.
But it's also, it's not.
Somebody had a tweet of all the people who've scored since Josh Sargent last scored. There were some wild names on there, like Shaq Moore. It's a really long list, and I hate to pile on, but he got one opportunity. He basically passed it to the I guess he skied the one. It didn't leave me with a lot of confidence that he could be that guy. And I wonder what Mauricio Pochettino was thinking after that.
I feel like it's been that way ever since.
Yeah, but his club form is so good. Yeah, now.
That's what kind of
I thought we
no
were
sense.
Over this. Yeah, you know,
I don't know what to. Is it the competition that he's playing in the championship? I don't think it's necessarily that, because he's pretty consistent throughout. I mean,
his teammates
season,
he's the best
season,
player on the team.
And there's something, you know, his card is silver, though, in EAFC, bro. That's a little bit concerning. I don't know what to tell you. He can't even get gold. I don't know.
Mauricio Pochettino's like, we need y'all to get team of the week.
So,
Henry, what have you seen from him that would leave me with any confidence that he deserves to be in that power ranking at all?
I mean, it's what you're seeing at Norwich, right? Like that's the reason he's in this team and started. And like, he's got the, like, when we think about like player profiles, like he's kind of, he does have like the all around striker profile where he's mobile enough to go in behind. He can check to the ball. He can wait. Like, there was one nice bit of play from a goal kick, actually, where he won a header. He flicked a header to either Pulisic or Aronson, and they had a nice little 3v3 that led to a shot. But you got to score. And look, like, Bala's the top striker for this team right now, for sure, when healthy. And I don't think, like, this was maybe an opportunity for Sargent to say that he should be in that conversation. They clearly did not do anything.
Yeah,
and
Ricardo Pepi scoring kind of puts him down even further in that depth chart. Because again, Ricardo Pepi is like, yeah, he might be a little bit, there might be frustrating parts of his game, but he just seems to be in the right positions and he scores and he just finds those opportunities and really finishes them. And nobody, and I could even argue, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily be upset at Ricardo Pepi starting over Balogun either. Because I think he's earned at least that opportunity.
Yeah,
but Balogun definitely is the more
complete for sure.
Sort of striker that can do so many things and do them pretty well. So
and also Pepi, more so than Bauer and more so than Sargent, is just like the perfect super sub, right? He's the perfect guy to come up just because he's the best, like, kind of just like natural, like scrappy finisher, just like we'll find a goal out of nothing. And
I know
also,
he wants
like,
to
he's
get
a,
rid of that, but I mean, you keep
scoring. Oh, for sure.
He has John Duran syndrome.
Yeah. You know? If you can make a living only playing 20 minutes a game, that sounds good for me.
Pretty good gig. Well, Henry, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. Is there people should go follow you? I know you're active on Twitter, but obviously go read his work on Yahoo Sports.
I have one more question. Who starts up top for the U.S. against Mexico?
Oof. Maybe Brandon Vasquez?
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That'd be nice. Maybe. That'd be a little fun.
I don't know. That's the shot in the dark. I have no clue.
No, but he already plays in Mexico. It might be It might be a fun little experiment. Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah. The one I'm actually sad about is Zach Steffen leaving.
I think that was a little bit of an injury.
Is it? Okay, yeah. I would have loved to see him play for the U.S. again. It would have been a cool moment, but at least he got called up again.
Yeah.
All right. Henry, your Twitter handle is Henry Bushnell?
At Henry Bushnell, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as active on there as I once was.
Okay. Right, so, on Yahoo Sports, go read his work. But Henry, thank you so much for hanging out, man. Seriously, really, really cool.
Appreciate it, guys. Favorite part of my day.
Ah, we're back on the Cooligans, baby.
Let's go. So, all right, we're done chatting USMNT. Let's get it.
We covered all of it. We solved all the problems. Aren't we amazing?
The international break still had a couple other matches and a couple of things going on in world footy. But let's start with England. Because
Are you a fan of second
England,
division
No,
teams?
I am not. I'm kidding. No, thank you for asking. I've been waiting for someone to finally bring it up.
To watch. Non-top tier.
But no, this is a... what was your question? What'd you say?
Are you a fan of second division teams? Because England is now a second division team.
Oh, that's right. In Nations League.
Yeah.
So now... And basically, because England aren't in the second division, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden I'm like, see, this is why Nations League is just an important competition.
And
it highlights what the quality of certain countries and what their focuses are.
Bruh, now finally some of these countries could play a quality level to their quality, you know?
Exactly. No, but let's start. They did, obviously, England had a kind of monumental loss to Greece at Wembley, mm-hmm. but I want to just start with the managerial talks about who is going to be the manager for England.
Who's going to help them get promoted?
Because it's currently Lee Carsley.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? He said he did not throw his hat in the ring
mm-hmm.
for the job, for the main job.
Does he wear a hat? Get a hat.
Well, he shaves his head. He needs a hat. It gets cold out there. Right? He also said that he feels that the right manager would be someone who is a proven trophy winner.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then he said, yeah, but I still want it. So very confusing by Lee Carsley. Not as confusing as the starting lineup.
Sure. So, a tough loss there. But the conversations now, especially after an England loss, it's immediate.
Now's when you leak the information. Yeah. Now's when you drop
immediately. It was like, who is going to take over?
Right.
This man clearly can't do it. But the names that are coming up, one of them I saw, Thomas Tuchel, as a potential manager for England, which is look, and you know, maybe the world has evolved, maybe things are a little bit different now, but as soon as I heard as a potential German manager as
the English, the England national team head coach.
Right.
I'm like, wow, they must, are they not going to bring it up at all? Like,
times have changed, huh?
I'm like, look, I'm cool with it. I'm not mad. My thoughts first go there because the internet is usually not polite about a lot of things.
No.
And this would be a very progressive thing given the history that Germany and England
have.
That's
like if the U.S. couldn't get Pochettino, the next up was Kim Jong-un.
Like, oh, he's a girl. What an interesting choice.
A real shift. There was no one else.
Did you see that the North Korean women's team won the U-17 World Cup?
I did not see
that. They did, yeah.
Damn.
Which, and it's like,
or else, I think it's
so. I don't know. I don't know what footballing they got out there, but apparently it ain't too bad. Yeah. Anyway,
all right.
But then so Thomas Tuchel, won the Champions League. Is sort of known as a manager that's good in competitions, like in tournament style competitions.
Yeah, but he's also like because he's pragmatic. I get it. You know, he's very. You know, it's very difficult for him. He's not flashy in that sense. He has a mindset for attacking football, you know, setting the fullbacks up, setting up in a 2-3-5 almost, or a 3-2-5, you know, when attacking, you know, football. So there is some of that, but it is still very pragmatic, still very safe.
Which is sometimes you need during those tournaments.
He's kind of a workaholic. You know what I mean? He's not the type of person. Right. So right now, if you're Thomas Tuchel, the big rumors are England job or Manchester United job.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you rather have?
The England job.
I mean, they're both as toxic, right?
Without a doubt. Really, Manchester United seems a little bit worse because at least you're not doing that week in and week out. You know what I mean?
Sure. But that's what he likes, though. He's like a workaholic. He wants to be on the pitch every day.
Yeah.
Working with the players. You know what I mean? So I don't know if international football suits him as much.
Okay. I mean,
but his style, I think, suits international football.
Sure. Maybe not his personality, but his footballing style. Sure.
His work ethic. Like, you know, he's more of a you. You know, Carlo Ancelotti is more of a me. You know?
Exactly. All vibes.
Yeah.
But then the other name that just popped up today, people are asking about Pep Guardiola and his future. His contract is up with Manchester City real soon. And his name is being thrown, the quote or the headline here on One Football, it says Pep Guardiola sounded out over England job, and Man City boss will quote decide his future in the coming weeks.
What does sounded out mean?
Sounded out mean like, yo, I sent a text. I liked a bunch of your Instagram photos.
Yeah, yeah. I went 143 weeks back and so, liked the photo. So you know I'm peeping.
Just know I'm thinking about you. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, yeah. So Pep Guardiola as the England manager. I don't know how you feel. This would be one of the greatest gets for England that they could ever even imagine.
It doesn't matter who gets him as a men's national team coach or a women's national team coach. It's the greatest get of all time.
This is one of the premier footballing minds
possibly the greatest manager
that
of all
the earth has ever really developed.
Yeah, this man
is not necessarily a not tinkerer. That wouldn't be the description.
No.
It would just be the analysis, the obsession.
He develops talent. He puts talent in positions where they play better than they are. John Stones was an Everton player. Did you think he would be this player?
I just like he's a center back. He's a six. He's a fullback.
Yeah. Leave him back there. No, meanwhile, Pep Guardiola was like, have you ever thought about being a striker? Because I could get you there.
So
this would be huge. This would be worst case scenario for the U.S., I think.
Really?
Yeah, because don't you see England as a bit of a rival when it comes to World Cups?
Yes, but we're not facing them regularly.
No, we almost are always drawn into the...
Look, I mean, it's like, I know Pep Guardiola has an affinity for the United States, and he speaks very highly of it whenever he is playing, international.
Well, just so you know, Pep, if you're watching, the U.S. will hate you if you do this.
We have Pochettino. Pochettino, guys.
I'm happy with Pochettino.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not complaining about that right now. But the idea that, you know, we're all sort of waiting what is going to happen with Manchester City.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, would he be allowed to? Is it possible that he gets drawn into the Manchester City?
Sure, I would. My thought is
possibly,
no. My initial thought is no, because it's like that almost feel like, what are you going to blame the players as well? Like, the coach doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the sponsorship deals that the club has. But this scenario of just even look, even if they reached out, and given that his contract is ending, you know, if you have the possibility, and if Tuchel's available now and Pep is available in the summer, just wait it out.
No, it's too close.
You think so?
You got no time. You got a year. You got a year.
Ah, okay.
Think about Mauricio Pochettino and be like, yo, it feels like he doesn't have much time. There's not that many competitive matches.
There's not many windows.
No,
left.
You gotta, I would say go with Tuchel right now.
Wow.
Over potentially maybe having Pep in the summer. Unless you can strike a deal now that he takes over in the summer.
The Emma Hayes style.
Yeah, where at least maybe he can put like a little bit of an eye to it now.
Okay.
And then whoever is the caretaker, maybe Lee Carsley. You know, here's the players, tactics, set that up, go
dress like me on the pitch so we can get everybody ready.
You already got the head straight, bro. You right there. Just throw the beard out.
Get some grays in the beard, you know.
Start calling it the Fock Cup. Get
your finest turtleneck on the
facts, bro. Open up a Spanish restaurant in Manchester. Come on, Lee.
We need to adjust the culture of the team quickly.
Hurry up. If you can do that, then maybe I would be okay with that, because it is Pep Guardiola that's worth waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not sure if he needs time or he might want to take a break afterwards, you've left it too late.
Okay. Yeah, this is a the other thing I want to also highlight, the England, and they won against Finland yesterday. I believe Jack Grealish scored, and if Jack Grealish coming back after being left off the Euros seems to be settling quite nicely. And I don't know how,
just had a baby, right?
I don't know.
I think they did. Just posted about it.
Congrats to him. But
congrats to you.
But losing to Greece, that's really what the one I want to highlight. Because we were watching this game. You had left. Carter and I were watching it, and this was a game with a lot of emotions around it, because obviously there was a player, a Greek player that had passed away.
Who played in England.
He played for Sheffield.
Yeah.
And all
Sheffield
the,
United.
All the players were playing, had black armbands in support. Greece scores first. Then Jude Bellingham ties the game late. And then after there was a disallowed goal that was also in the 83rd minute from Greece. So for a slight offside, but then Bellingham scores, which I think Carter had even said, as soon as the goal was disallowed, he was like, oh, England on tie this late. And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
And then Greece in the 94th minute gets the game winner.
Right. The guy who's Pavlidis, who had the goal disallowed, scores.
So just in.
This is a massive win for Greece.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, weirdly, the first person I thought of was Stavi. I was just, for whatever reason, when I just think of somebody who would be happy about this, he's the first Greek person that I can think of.
We got, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Stavi. So Stavros.
It's either the Greek national team or the Baltimore Ravens. Those are his two.
Can you go to the, what are the UEFA Nations League standings in the B division? Do we know? That's right there at the bottom, right?
Is that it?
1 and 2.
Yeah. So, yeah. They are 1 and 2.
Okay. Greece is number one, by the way. England is number two.
Which, like we were saying.
See the full table. Let's see what other countries England faces in this competition.
They're in, what group are they in? I don't even know.
They're B.
They're in B2. So
yeah, they're a B team, bro.
Greece, England, Ireland, and Finland. And
not be leading this group is insane. you're England. You have so much more talent.
Yeah. But look, the game against Greece, I mean, they played well. And they were, again, we were just, we're talking about just like the heart of you know, whatever team. I mean, just the, when you have such a terribly sad and tragic event and story, of course it galvanizes the team. It was clearly a difficult thing for the English players to face. But there's just something, we think of England and we know the talent, we see the Premier League or whatever, but there's just something when these English players are just put together. They're not, you know, unless they're playing, what is that team? San Marino or whatever, like they're not
Liechtenstein. Or, yeah,
it's like, you know, they can, even teams that we think on paper shouldn't be able to compete kind of do.
Yeah.
So credit to Greece on this one. But which, yeah,
by the way, reminds me, and it's not really on our rundown, but you know, mm-hmm. Bolivia is in an automatic qualifying spot for the World Cup right now.
Yes, yes. And
crazy.
CONMEBOL, yeah, yeah. Because
that's wild.
They beat Colombia 1-0 and they were down a player.
Yeah.
And he just there's a, what you when I didn't get to watch the game, but I saw like just photos. There's a photo of I think James like on the ground. Because
they played at a match at a stadium that's even higher than the one they normally play.
And it's
play.
Just like, bro, they we're trying to just get to a World Cup, whatever it takes.
Yeah. They can only play in Colorado. Like I think. That's the only stadium in the U.S. that even
and
matches.
And you, it's like, I don't, the players, they, you can try to prepare for being in that, that atmosphere.
I mean, literally you have less oxygen in your blood.
Yeah.
Like there's you either comfortable in that scenario or you're breathing through a mask for most of the breaks.
I wonder how, because I don't know how many, but how many of the Bolivian players play in Bolivia? They must play in other countries, but are their lungs just like,
yeah, yeah,
perfect. Like
home cooking. Let's go. Oh, we back, bro. We tired of all that oxygen.
It's too much oxygen. I can smell the oxygen. Yeah. I don't like it.
Nah, no, it throws me off. I'm gonna say it might be oxygen pollution, bro.
We gotta work on that. Less oxygen. Get all these damn trees out of here, bro.
Sometimes I'm just sitting there with an aerosol can, just trying to regulate, bro.
So the other news internationally as well is there's a match between Nigeria and Libya.
Oh, there was.
That was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But the players.
Was the match between Nigeria and Libya? I know they're in a Libyan airport. They were diverted while landing.
Who? Okay.
To a Libyan airport.
Let's confirm, because I thought they were playing against Libya, but they were playing against Libya. Okay. So. So Nigeria is scheduled to play against.
Well, they've boycotted the match now.
Correct, because they got stuck at the airport. The plane got diverted, and they were stuck in the airport. And there was a post by Victor Boniface. There was a post by William Troost Ekong, and basically saying, I mean. Fabrizio Romano had shared it, and this was basically the post from William Troost Ekong. And just very quickly, I'll just pick a random spot here. It says, upon arrival, he tried to find this is talking about the pilot. He tried to find a nearby airport to rest with his crew to be denied at every hotel, again, under government instruction. Okay, this is after they landed. Sorry. I'll read the beginning. Apologies for being all over the place. It says, 12 hours in an abandoned airport in Libya after our plane was diverted whilst descending. Libyan government rescinded our approved landing in Benghazi with no reason. They've locked the airport gates and left us without phone connection, food or drink. All to play mind games. So that's the claim that he is making. I haven't heard any other response about this.
That is ridiculous.
But kind of implying that, you know, this is similar to fireworks outside of the team hotel kind of a thing.
I mean, this is a little different. You're stuck at an abandoned airport.
Yeah.
That's not fun. There's no services there. There's nothing you can really do or anything for 12 hours. And then to find out that there is fuel and other stuff available to them that just wasn't given to them.
Yeah.
So very clearly, this is when CONCACAFing goes wrong. You know, like
well, it's like when CONCACAF shouldn't. You know, it shouldn't. You know, the CIA shouldn't be involved in CONCACAF.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How? Why is it so? like being, you know, stranding all these people at an airport, and we're looking at the photos of all the players just sleeping, and there's no proper beds. They're sleeping on
airport
chairs,
seats.
Airport seats with armrests, and you know, it's just wildly uncomfortable. Look, my man has his feet on his teammates' head, bro.
Damn.
Come on, bro. Why are you making them do this? All right? With the Supreme luggage.
Doing Supreme luggage, bro?
Supreme luggage.
What year is this?
No, dude. This is crazy, man. I mean, it's clearly something you don't want to see. But credit to the players for being like, because I believe the comment from Troost Ekong was like, they can have the 3 points.
I actually think that was Boniface who said that. But I'm,
oh, okay.
It doesn't matter who said it, really. I mean, at the end of the day, this is inhumane.
Yeah.
You don't do this to, especially people who have to, you know, they're playing so many matches all year and they have to go back and try to play for their club. I mean, no club, if you're a Bayer Leverkusen, you're not happy that Boniface is having to be spending 12 hours sitting in a chair that's uncomfortable.
Dude, even if, like, I don't know, we've all been delayed at the airport. I mean, it's like
I got stuck in Europe for 2 days, and even I got to go to a hotel.
A four-hour delay, and I'm like, all right, this is gonna affect me a little bit.
Right.
Just the idea of a professional athlete.
Yeah, let him in the lounge. Why didn't they go to the Centurion Lounge?
Is there no Centurion Lounge at the Liberian Airport? No, it's ridiculous.
That's the hardest to get into a Delta Sky Club? Damn.
Nah, man. Absurd. So clearly, look, the claim that he's making that this was intentional is kind of wild. I mean, I don't want to believe that. I can't even fathom the idea that there would be that kind of, just who has the influence and power to make a plane land, and then also
they weren't allowed to leave or go into hotels by government instructions. So that tells you who. The government.
I mean, was it for their safety? That was the claim. If that's the case, then like, yo, get some beds, get some cots in here, mm-hmm. Bring some Fantas or whatever. Dude, they're thirsty, dog.
Yeah, that's the first thing you do.
Get a couple Fantas. Cots
and Fanta.
Whatever it takes, man. So, yeah, it's just a wild story. I want to see, I haven't seen any response yet from FIFA or from kind of anyone.
Also love the first comment that we see here. It says, me at bro's house at the sleepover. I mean, just no one takes anything seriously.
There's no tragedy bad enough that would prevent somebody from making a sarcastic comment.
You gotta get the joke off, bro.
Yeah, dude. So a wild time. So we'll see if we hear any updates, and we'll update you guys if there's, because I haven't heard any response in what the result is gonna be, because usually, when a game is forfeit, it's usually a 3-0 loss and whatever. Was this a qualifier?
I believe this was.
I think it was an important
CAF qualifier.
Yeah, I think it was a really important game. So we'll see.
Have you ever boycotted a business or something because of service?
Because of service.
You didn't like the way you were treated?
Not specifically. It's usually, I think boycotts are just like some company involved in some like global tragedy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah, that yes, that I can understand. Abbot Carter, have you ever said, like, I'm never coming back to this place?
Is that really a boycott? It's just like, I don't like this.
Oh, no, I'm literally in the middle. I think I've boycotted three businesses in my neighborhood that I refuse to go back to.
If one person is boycotting, is that a boycott?
Yeah, it's a boycott for a whole person.
That's just not, you know.
I refuse to order.
Being a patron, not patronizing.
There is a, it's like a quasi bakery. They call themselves a bakery. They're not a bakery. There's a place that has like breakfast sandwiches and, you know, lunches mm-hmm. and stuff that I refuse to go back to because I ordered once from them and they promised to get it there within an hour when it was originally half an hour. They called me and said, sorry, we're delayed. We'll get it there within this time, whatever, let's say 1 p.m. And that never happened. I got they dropped this thing off at 4:30 after I had already eaten. I ordered from some other place. I already ate it, threw it out, was already full. Already, we were streaming at the time. This is when you and I were streaming.
Right.
Stream was over. Like, we did everything we were supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, I got a knock on my door. Yo, here's your chopped cheese. No! You can't drop off a bone-chilling cold chopped cheese that you've, had in, on your bicycle for 3 hours?
All right.
No chance.
Okay. Boycott.
No, that's boom, boom. Boycott. That's one. There's like a couple. But yeah, if you give me that bad a service, or if you mistreat someone I'm with, there was one place that was a little disrespectful to my wife, and I was like, yeah, I mean, boycott's the lightest. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're lucky I'm stopping a boycott. You know?
Okay.
Brick through a window when you're sleeping is more like
I feel the word boycott is being used very loosely. You're just like, you know, I'm boycotting my mom.
Yo, for facts. Yo, facts,
for what she said to me.
Bro, how dare you, bro? You can't hit me. How old I am? I'm married.
I'm boycotting.
You're boycotting. You're boycotting for the next half hour.
All right, we got a lot more to cover. We'll be right back after this. All right, let's get to some NWSL.
Mm.
The Invincible season is over for the Orlando Pride.
I thought it was going to be Gotham that got them. Was that next week?
I believe it was tennis game. They lost 2-0 to the Thorns at Providence Park. A game where Marta didn't start, Barbara Banda didn't start. I think there was a little bit of like,
hey, we got this. The Thorns are kind of struggling.
Let the other people play a little bit.
Let them have a little fun. And no, the Thorns, they took this game very seriously. Christine Sinclair even scored, which is, I think this is officially the, I think, or it could be the last time we see Marta and Christine Sinclair on facing each other for one of the final time.
I mean, I'm assuming so.
You know, anything can happen. You never know. But the so disappointing because I think we all would have loved to see.
No.
No, you're not disappointed.
You wanted to have an invincible season?
It would
have
been kind of cool. I like it's like me. I hate that Arsenal are invincible. I like why? Why just hate for no reason?
I don't even know if those players are still alive, but the Miami Dolphins went that 1 year undefeated. And every time an undefeated team, like the last undefeated team loses, they pop a bottle of champagne together.
Yes, because I can't. Nobody's ever going to break that.
Well, you got to be haters, bro. Hate unless that. You're an Orlando Pride fan, you should not want the Orlando Pride to go undefeated.
Interesting thought. I mean, I guess for the story, you know, because since we've never seen it before in NWSL, I thought it would have been cool. Am I rooting for Orlando Pride to win the NWSL championship? No, but
I could see them getting bumped out of the playoffs early.
Anything can happen, but I do not see that because if Marta and Barbara Banda start this game, I don't think that this is the result. But maybe, you know, fixture congestion, tiredness, you know, give the players a little bit of a break, maybe thinking a little bit more long term for the other matches.
This could also be a positive. Get that off your back now. Yeah, You're not worried about it.
You don't have to worry about it. And clearly, Marta is a player that doesn't have to worry about it because the Thorns, they posted after their win on Instagram. Look at the first comment. Marta is there and
best of luck fighting for a place in the playoffs.
The shade.
Wow. It's like, yeah, y'all got this, but you ain't got much after this.
It's the you see the what you call it, like the it's like just a little chilly in here because all of a sudden.
Can we give a little credit to King underscore Martin at the bottom? Say capitalizing the L in Orlando is crazy.
Look, even the NWSL comment sections are great. But I love it because Thorns are, you know, kind of struggling to maintain their playoff position. Mm-hmm. I think they're in basically either sixth or seventh or something like that. And they've had a rough year and it hasn't really gone as expected. But you love just the... There's a certain classiness to this comment from Marta. It's not like... You know, y'all are corny for, you know, y'all got lucky or
even in the way she's saying it, it's very Google Translate kind of respectful.
Yeah.
Best of luck fighting for a place in the playoffs as opposed to good luck getting into the playoffs or
your bums.
Yeah. It doesn't have the heat, even the little smile.
Little smile. It just highlights of like, look, I know where your season is, but. Hey, we got the NWSL shield, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Don't be
the new and improved shield.
The new and improved shield. But you know, don't start with all this banter. You haven't had the type of season where you can come at us with all the banter. You know, saying you know with the capitalized L in Orlando. It's just like okay, this is the first one, but you know, hold your horses.
Unbeaten records are made to be broken. Mm. You know, and like she's like, all right. How about this? How about getting the playoffs and then we'll talk?
Exactly.
Like it's a nice little bit of shade from Marta.
Yeah. So great to see. I mean, look, congrats to the Thorns. I mean, yeah, they have they still got a lot to work on. As far as you know, getting into the playoffs. The other
also Chiwenga with the most goals.
Samuel Chiwenga broke the record for most goals in an NWSL season, and the way that she did it,
bro, what a golazo!
But not only was it like a golazo, but it was one of those things where. It was like I didn't see the ball. Like as she was running up, she had a defender that was kind of like making her like just her life a little bit difficult. She wasn't like, I'm not gonna give you just like this one. Let me bump you a little bit, put an arm on you.
Me for the record.
And Chiwenga took that shot as if she hit it with the force of like she was hitting a Ronaldo free kick. You know how he used to run at them and blast
Roberto
it.
Carlos.
Or Roberto Carlos. There was nobody impeding your way.
She put her laces through it, bro.
Dude, that was just one of the just absolute bangers, bro. That was just a great goal. I was happy to see it. But the look, it was a win, I believe for Kansas City. I think they won 1-0.
Yes.
But when
jeez,
this was a record breaking goal, but the. The announcer just didn't...
They didn't react like this was record-breaking.
Yeah, and we could... Let's hear it for a little bit.
Julie, Jess, and Darian, have you covered? Chiwenga, Shoots. It's in. Temba Chawinga.
I could have used a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
All you did was prove to me you could pronounce it.
you nailed that. Yeah. Respect. I don't know who the announcer
put a little stank on
We could use
yo.
A little bit more stank.
Come on, yo. Get some sauce in there.
The record is hers.
Because it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And
it's huge.
I think there's a little bit of, what's the word? Maybe being a little bit self-conscious, or sometimes I've heard this, and we have friends that are announcers, that mm-hmm. sometimes they are thinking about how the internet is going to react to a call before they even make the call.
Right.
And I'm
like, would John Strong have gone, yeah. if he was thinking about,
we could have used it. A crazy reaction here. And it's like, even if it's silly, even if it's a little cringy, like, it's like, let's be honest in that moment.
Be yourself. That's why you got the job.
It's in. She's done it.
Yeah.
I could have used a little bit more. That's
Chawinga.
All.
That's all you did, bro.
Respectfully, like, I'm not here to, you know, bash.
We're not bashing. We're backing you to be you.
We're saying, yo, show your true colors.
Yeah.
Okay. Because imagine Ray Hudson's on this call. He's not holding off with some weird biblical kind of allegory.
He's saying words we've never heard of. I didn't know the word magisterial until I met this man.
And now I want to get it tattooed on my body, dog.
Yo. So, right on my lower back, bro.
Magisterial as a tramp stamp would be crazy, dog.
That would be amazing.
Like, okay, I'm marrying this woman. What a tattoo.
She ain't wrong.
And now every time I'm making love, I can think about Ray Hudson, which is what we all want.
That's how I last longer.
This is the last thing we're going to wrap up the show with. And this is, do you remember Dr. Nadia Nadim? She played for Racing Louisville.
I remember Nadia Nadim.
She is a doctor.
Damn.
Now, I think I don't remember at what point of her career that she officially became a doctor. It might have been with Louisville. I don't remember. But
I remember us talking about it. Yeah.
But she is now playing for AC Milan, the AC Milan women's team. And so she is a doctor. Mm. And this is kind of
put that right on the screen.
Alexis, as you know, loud as he may be, as whatever, as confident as he may seem, this is not something Alexis is really comfortable looking at.
I'm not big on, like, let me watch surgeries. You know what I mean?
So Nadim was injured during a game. It looks like she got a stud into the leg, into her shin.
This is why you wear shin guards, folks.
That caused a bit of a wound. And because she's a doctor, she posted this and she says, one of the benefits when you are a doctor, and what we're watching right now is... Nadia Nadim giving herself stitches.
No, thank you.
This might be blurred out for.
I wish it would blur it out for me. I don't want to see this.
I'm not squeamish. This is miraculous.
I'm not squeamish when it comes to this kind of stuff. I just don't want to see bones and stuff. I also don't want to see someone give themselves.
This is the most badass thing.
Oh, I can feel the string traveling through my skin.
This is one of the most badass things I think I've ever seen in my life.
The amount of pain
that she must be in right now, and she's just like. She's in that pain. This is like a, you know.
Oh, she's had the knot.
The fact that this is a, you see this on the battlefield in wars.
Literally. Or like on a Bear Grylls episode. You ain't got to do this, man.
I mean, there's, you know, people they hire to handle this exact thing.
There are physios, man.
Nadim is like, nah, I got this.
Bro.
And the fact that she's doing it and like, there's something to, like, I see just your reaction, but you're squeamish a little bit, but
the fact that she can look at it and have the precision and go through the pain and it doesn't faze her at all is
a fish hook going through your skin and she's not even reacting.
Bro, I could never. This you is
should,
I,
there must I, be some type of numbing thing on the on that area.
Maybe.
Maybe they hit her with the magic spray. Do something, bro.
Just put mag spray on the wound.
Yo.
That's modern.
Hear me? We'll figure out whether that's okay or not.
So shout out to Nadia Nadim, Dr. Nadia Nadim. Because yeah. that is just remarkable. I don't
you
know.
You have my respect, Doc.
Without a doubt. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Also, if this is, I'm glad she plays for AC Milan because she still plays for NWSL. In America, you get sent the bill even if you do your own surgery. No, Mary Healthcare is
hospital not bill. No. You use the you know one of the sutures.
Yeah.
That'd be $400,000.
Exactly. Yeah. The insurance company's like, are you sure you needed stitches?
So funny. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We have a exciting episode on Thursday. We have a guest from LA Galaxy. I'll tease that. So make sure you tune in and shout out again to Henry Bushnell for joining us to talk some USMNT. Again, support his work on Yahoo Sports and read. He just does incredible stuff.
He's
incredible
a great guy.
Work. Great writer. Great dude. So make sure you follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Also, subscribe to the Patreon. We have extra content coming out there. That's going to be really, really fun. So stay tuned to patreon.com/soccercooligans.
Get on it now.
And that's it, everybody. Y'all the best. Subscribe, like, do the whole thing.
Hit all the buttons.
Hit all the buttons. See you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.